Hallelujah. There are many people who have used anointing to dictate to themselves that they are called. This is a big error. And this is why we have a lot of people with no message, no grace, no pattern, no space as far as God's program is on. And they are causing a lot of trouble in the body of Christ. Are you following me this morning? And so your motif, there are many people who get into ministry to prove a point to others that God can use any man. There are many people who get into ministry because they are angry. There are people who are getting into ministry because somebody told them you'll be a failure. There are many people getting into ministry because they feel they don't have space for stage. And they say, I'm tired of cleaning cheese. Let me have my own sect and my own partition where I can be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, let us build a city. But the purpose of building that city is to make a name for ourselves. And while they were talking, God was watching in heaven. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God himself, not a demon, came down, confused them and scattered that project. Can I tell you, there are some projects that have been scattered not by Satan. God himself is opposing some people because he has no hand in what they are doing. That a ministry seems to be working does not mean God is there. We have used the wrong parameters to gauge the hand and the presence of God in the ministry. Praise the Lord. The motif of a man. Many geos do not love the people God has sent them to minister to. They don't love them. They don't care about them. They are only using them as prophetic ladders to rise in the echelons of success so that many people can know that I am also a man of God and my parish or this and that is not small. You need to sit down and hear men of God talk and hear the foolish and stupid conversations that come out of their mouths. They care less about the sheep of God. Hallelujah. A man can be in a church like this and all they can have is one little carpet, yet the man has a lot of jeeps. Can I tell you, that is not a true man of God? Because the Bible says the characteristic of a good shepherd is that he lays down his life, constrains himself even as unto death for the sake of his sheep. If you are not able to pass that litmus test, you are not called. Hallelujah. Many of us have mentored the lives of wrong people who are painting a wrong portrait of ministry. Many of us are already rising and we are rising, hoping that we will get to a point where we will have anointing and have grace. And when that happens, we just find somebody somewhere who calls you a pastor or an apostle, just put a dot of oil on your head and you fall and roll on the floor and just get up and convince yourself that now you have found a space. Listen, in scripture, most of the people who made impact in scripture and in history did not even know they were called into ministry. Their original intention was not ministry. They had a degree of love and passion for God. Are you hearing me? They loved God with their life and they were diligently concerned about what was happening to mankind. That was the thing that led them to prayer. It was the thing that made them to live their normal life and become unusual people. They locked themselves in prayer and fasting, not for money, not for breakthrough. They began to cry and say, Lord, even if you cannot use me, just use somebody else. And God said, you are doing this for me. I see your heart. The way God taught us the pathway to an impact is not what many people have been taught. Right now, they teach people that all it takes for power is to just get up, package a seed, go and meet a servant of God, drop it, take everything and go. Really? Hallelujah. It's a minister's conference. Many of us here represent our different fellowships and different groups. And many of us are already on our mark, going to race towards a wrong road. That's why God is keeping you to flog out all of these things so that he will put us. The Bible says, he that bears fruit, my Father will prune. That God is pruning you is a sign that you are making progress in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Your majesty, I can't but bow.
I bow before you now in royal robes. My God is here. My God is here. It's all right. Hallelujah. It's all right. Hallelujah. They are doing their best. Don't be distracted. There was a time you were listening to messages without mic. Is that not true? Don't suddenly assume you cannot listen without mic. Just concentrate, and if the mic is not working, let's keep it peacefully and continue. Hallelujah. Don't complicate your spiritual journey, for God's sake. Let us build a city. Is that true? He said, let us make a name. Every time you want to start a ministry, can I tell you something? Or you sense the call of God upon your life, the first agenda is to become the guinea pig of the message you want to take to people. If it does not work in your life and you are not convicted, you have not earned the right to be an apostle in that area. Many people are not convicted about the dimensions they claim God has called them to function. A man claims to be working in a healing ministry and is dying day and night of sickness. That person is not called. You must contend until you have a testimony, and that becomes your message. He called Moses. He said, Moses, come up. I must show you something. When he went to the burning bush, he had an experience that imprinted upon him certain dimensions of God. Not even the threat of Pharaoh could erode that experience. So when they saw the Red Sea, see, let me tell you, your experiences of the secret place is what will sustain you through ministry. If you do not have an experience, you will run helter-skelter. There are people who face certain challenges and know that he told me in the secret this will come. For the members, it's a shock, but for me, it's not a shock. I already know that glory is springing out, because out of the depth of my experience in the secret place, I have built structure to be able to stand certain things. Many people cannot stand. It's not even that their strength is small. They don't even have the strength. Strength is a product of an experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what is your motive for engaging in any kind of kingdom activity, especially ministry? We are going to have to redefine it. Day and night. Let me tell you something. I do this all the time. I sit down and I say, Lord, examine my heart. Thank God for all the things. See, another dangerous thing in ministry is when you begin to make any little impact. See, the commendations of men are like swords. It can kill. Are you getting what I'm saying? People can call you names that will bring you to a point where you can begin to perceive you do not need God in your life. But a true minister was designed to be inadequate by default. That's your construction by default, that there is a void in you that only the presence of God will complete. Let us build a city and give ourselves a name. When I was starting ministry, there were many of my pastor friends who thought ministry was a vocation or a profession, like banking, architecture, construction company. Many of them were before, we had not even started anything. We did not even start anything. Many of them had protocols and everybody just moving. You hold my pure water, hold my bag, hold this and that. No message, no grace, because they can just blow air and somebody just falls. They convince themselves that that's all it takes to go into ministry. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the honest truth? There are many people right now, as I speak to you, they are not even in the faith, not to talk of the ministry again. Because ministry is a component of many factors. And unlike secular job, you can do away with other factors. In ministry, everything must be complete. When anything is deficient, it will show. The higher you rise, the more your weaknesses and strengths are magnified. So that the things that did not matter yesterday will matter tomorrow.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God.
Hallelujah. When I started out with God, God sees my heart. I was not looking for ministry. I was not looking for a name. I didn't even know I was called. Hallelujah. I started with a sincere desire to serve God. When I saw the sick, it disturbed me. I cried again and again. Hallelujah. Many of us, even when you make altar calls, the sincere truth is you just want to convince yourself that you are just doing God's work. There is no passion there. Even if tears are coming out of your eyes, it's just an emotional thing. Many people are not leaning on the strength of an authentic motivation towards ministry. Hallelujah. Some of you are seated here, they are already calling you names. But what is God calling you? That's the name you always wanted. Now they've started calling you and you're already finding satisfaction. He said, let us build a name. Come, let's open this music group and have a name for ourselves. You see, only those people that can do it. Let's show that anything good can come out of Nazareth. Listen, I'm not against motivation, but there are certain levels of motivation that lead men into perdition. They just tell them, you know you can do all things. Awaken the giant. And the man sits down. He says, I'm a giant. That giant must be awakened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Stand up. Come, let's open one roof and just force people under. I'm sorry. And tell them, this is our ministry. What is the name? And he just goes and does 1, 3 days prayer and fasting. That you are just hoping evening will come so that you will break it. At the end of 3 days, you just come out and say, I waited upon the Lord. And he said, name it, what now? Jesus is King. In this ministry, there will be this and that and that and that. Brothers and sisters, if this is the portrait of ministry you want to present, let me tell you in advance, frustration is inevitable. There are many people who live as if it's not God that sent them. Even you are tempted to ask them, oh boy, this is your thing, is it really God? The way you are struggling like this, is it God? You must get to a point in your life where your motif forever, my desire for ministry is not to make a name. Are you hearing me? My desire for ministry is to see souls saved, to bring people into an accurate understanding of the principles of the kingdom, and I will inconvenience myself to any length to get that happen. A man of God gets up and he says, how much is the honorarium? They say 40,000. They say, Abba, they gave me 40,000 3 years ago. You give me 40,000 now. Is that what your mates used to give a herbalist? How much? Add something. A man is bargaining. I've had many people teach about these things with such confidence. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? The day you feel you are indispensable, God will use somebody that looks like nothing to prove a point to you. He's not short of people. Hallelujah. Elijah said, and I alone am the only man standing. God said, you think so? It's by grace that I'm using you. There are 7,000 others who are hiding. They are not yet on TV. You have not seen them. They don't have churches yet, but they are rigorously being trained. And if you joke, they will come up. When Elijah died, did the agenda of God stop? There were other people who continued it. So my first message for us this morning is, what is your motivation? Many of us just like this celebrity thing. While you are sitting down there, you are just tying these chairs. The thing is doing you like this. You're just saying, ah, God. So for many ladies, you think the shortcut is to marry a man of God first. If it will take me years of fasting and prayer, let me shorten the journey. There's nothing wrong with marrying a man of God, except for the fact that if you feel it will ease off complex, then there is a big shock waiting for you. Hallelujah. You see a lot of ministers come like this, and maybe there's no time, and they say, Pastor, sorry, we apologize, you may not be able to sing the song, and the guy just gets angry and fumes. And question, did you come to bless the people, or did you come to receive, or did you come to shine? I'm saying this morning because if God does not curb some mindsets many of us are already having, there is casualty. As I'm speaking now, I know that there are some of you, you have already promised yourself that you must show life that you are not a failure. At all costs, it doesn't matter who you match. Hallelujah. You watch pastors, whenever they are coming together, everyone wants to show he's the great man of God. Is that true? I can come in here now and see God's servant, the pastor, sit down, and I try to show, do you know where I'm coming from? Do you know how many wheelchairs I've... You see, let me tell you. If you have a personal complex problem, the secret place is the solution. You go to the secret place and flog it out. And rise up with grace and concentrate on the work that God is giving you. Hallelujah. There are many pastors who will never go into... They will never go anywhere where there are other men of God of their own kind of class. They want to stand alone so that you give them a kind of ovation that even everybody, inanimate and animate things, will know that a man of God has come. This is a sign of incomplete spiritual training in the secret place. They jumped classes, they jumped lectures, and those lectures they jump is what is showing now. What is your motivation for ministry? Lord, I have a nice voice. If only they invite me, I will sing, I will go to the nations. God is saying, you, with what I'm seeing now. I've said it again. Many people say, God, bless me and see. God is not a man. He doesn't need to bless you before he knows. He's seeing it now. Hallelujah. If you want authentic power and authentic grace, you want to end the cycle of frustration in ministry where you are intimidated at every appearance of every man of God because you are not even confident of what you carry, I am giving you a secret. Your motive. The sincerity of your motive. Forget about your gifts, what you have or what you do not have. It doesn't cost God anything to make you a sign and a wonder. He made a donkey talk. Is it the prophetic he cannot give you? You have been struggling over the prophetic. A donkey prophesied in less than 1 minute. No prayer, no faith. What does it take God to help you? He must get your heart. Many of us have even come to a point, if they don't call you that apostle or that prophet or that pastor, say, I know we are mates now. I know. Apostle, pastor is not a title, it's an office. Are you getting me? You can't stop people from calling you, but you give yourself the revelation. My name is Joshua Selman. I have an apostolic ministry. Any other thing you call me from, there's your cup of tea. Whether you call me prophet, pope, bishop, totally irrelevant. Many of us derive consolation from a lot of vanities. What is your motivation? This is the reason why many people have been coming behind you and they have been moving, and you've been wondering, God, what is all this? And God is saying, I must get your heart. I must get your heart. You must get to a point, listen, where God takes a hold of your heart and you are genuinely interested in his kingdom. You must get to a point where there is nothing in this life that can distract you. Not titles, not money, not miracles.
Nothing, no place, no one else will do. I need you. I need you. For you satisfy the longing inside. I need you. I need you. For nothing, no place, no one else will do. I need you. I need you. For you satisfy the longing inside.
Before we take the other part, we are going to pray. Hallelujah. You are going to cry out to the Lord. There's no pretending it. I don't like teaching people who pretend a lot of things. I know you are a man of God. I don't care how many wheelchairs you have raised or not raised. That's none of my business this morning. Hallelujah. You are going to cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, there are motivations in my heart. I love you, but there are other things. The truth is, I want some level of success, which is not bad, except for the fact that it is an incorrect motivation. Hallelujah. Can we cry for 5 minutes? Rise up on your feet and cry. Lift your voice and begin to cry unto the Lord from the depth of your heart. There's no drama. Search my heart, O God. Prune my motivations. Yes, I fast, but prune the motivations behind the fasting. Come on, ministers, cry out to God. Take away every wrong motivation. Lord, there's no doubt I want to be successful, but I've let that be my motivation for ministry. Prune it tonight, O God. Search my heart. Try my thoughts. I have left the genuine passion for God, for the sheep of God, for the kingdom of God, impossible for relevance. Pray from your heart. Are you praying? Is this how you pray here? Take a break, shake a labataba. Ambrose, break a labataba. Rakata, break a labataba, shake a tabaria bosh. Ambrose, rakata, ikata, shake a tabasika tabasha. Rakata, let it break a labataba. Rakata, Ambrose, so break a labataba. Rakata, break a labataba. Rakata, break a labataba. Rakata, search my heart. Search my heart. Search my heart. Hallelujah. 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 Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 says, seeing then, on account of the fact that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there are men who have run this race and they have joined the cloud of witnesses and they are watching us. He said, on account of this reality, let us therefore lay aside every weight. Hear me? Weights are not sins. They are just whatever has the capacity to impede you. Mindsets, ideologies that are not consistent with the patterns of the kingdom. He said, every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. You're going to pray and say, Lord, that vulnerability that is killing me in ministry. Hear me. Can I tell you the truth? There are some of us that the sincere reason why we want ministry, among other reasons, is to enjoy the blessings. Don't lie. God wants to bless you. He just wants to teach you the right way to get there. But right now, you're going to repent. The word repent means turn from your initial pattern. It has nothing to do with being a sinner. It is part of the consistent portrait of kingdom citizens that they repent consistently. The moment God shows you a blueprint and you see a disalignment, you repent. Many people are ashamed of repentance. They think it's a sign of weakness. As you rise in the spirit, it becomes the symbol of maturity, that for every time you see a pattern that you are following against the pattern of God, you repent. Lift your voice and cry unto God and say, search my heart. Lord, I repent of wrong motivations. God wants to make you a mighty man in the spirit. God wants to give you the influence, the prosperity, the grace. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. This wrong motivation has made a lot of men of God to print complimentary cards like business owners, sharing it around, seeking for opportunities to minister. Many ministers have joined all kinds of occultic associations because they want to go to the front. A man of God comes and is begging, please give me 5 minutes, let me just encourage the people. What nonsense is that? The greatest publicity of a minister is to remain in the secret place. When there is true fire, it cannot. He said, a man cannot light a candle except the candle is not lighted and put it under a bushel. It will burn everything until everybody sees what it is. Many of you are already scouting left, right, and center, begging everybody for every program. Please, please. The fact that you have to beg is a sign that there is no grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every fellowship you come, who is ministering? There's small space. Just give me 5 minutes. Let me round up. This is nonsense. This is not how the ancient did ministry. We are getting another wrong pattern that came from America and all of this Western world, without knowing that some nations have been etched out of the current programs of God. Take over, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Take over, take over. I have touched the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing it from the depth of your heart. Take over, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Take over, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please
sit down, let me just touch on one other aspect and we're done. We have a session in the evening, so this is where your journey begins. See, let me tell you something. When you read through history, when God called those who made a mark, they ran away. But now there are many people forcing God. God, you must call me. If you don't talk to me, I'll talk to you. Those who God called, they even ran away. They ran away. They said, Lord, please, I don't want to come out. I cannot talk well. Moses said, I'm a stammerer. Lord, what is this trouble you want to give me? But right now, there are many people who say, Lord, I'm eloquent, I'm nice, tall, dark, and handsome. I have the physique for ministry. As if ministry is a beauty contest. I have the right haircut. I know how to do it. Such that when my face is on a poster, everybody will come. Ha.
Take over, I have come to the end of myself.
Take over,
I have touched the end of myself.
Take over,
I have come to the end of myself.
Hallelujah.
When you realize that ministry is about God and His kingdom, there are certain traits that will never find expression in your life. Arrogance is one of them. Arrogance is a sign that you have forgotten the voice that sent you. You have allowed honor, you have allowed prestige, power, miracles to take its place in your life. I see a lot of men of God and I'm surprised with utmost shock at the arrogance with which they behave with the little realm they have attained. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Isaiah began to prophesy in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Hallelujah. 5. And the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. When he saw the one he was representing, he broke down at once. He told himself, woe is me. From chapter 1 to 5, if somebody looked at him and said, man of God, woe is you, what do you think he would do to that man? He would curse the man and say, how can you call an emoji woe? But when he saw God, he said, I'm not ashamed to say, woe is me. I am undone, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. Brothers and sisters, get to a point in your life where you will never forget that you are that small boy or that small girl that God took one day. Don't you let honorarium and posters and people deceive you. I have imprinted some revelations in my life and they will never leave. I know where God took me from. Are you getting me? The experience was so real, no amount of money will take it away. Amos said, I was a farmer. I was quietly a farmer when God took me. When God took Elisha the prophet, he was a farmer. And Elijah comes and casts his mantle on him. And there he begins to follow him. Became one of the sons of the prophet. And eventually carried a double portion. Can you still remember where God took you from? Can you still remember when you were nothing? Can you still remember when nobody will even give you the mic to sing? Can you remember when even closing prayer they will not give you? Think of the transitions that have happened by grace. What makes you forget that God has been faithful?
Take over. Take over. I have come to the end of myself.
Hallelujah.
I have come to the end of myself.
Hallelujah. Listen, I have books that I wrote many experiences. I have pictures. I have a lot of things. Every time I'm back from a ministration, I get down on my knees and I tell God, this small boy is back again. Let not the glory that kill men destroy me. I want to last. Hallelujah. People can call all kinds of names. Great man of God. X, Y, Z, this and that. Let me tell you something. I have seen honor. I know what it means to be honored. But I've seen the deceitfulness of honor too. I know how much it can kill mighty men and make mighty men fall like a leaf. There are many men of God, when you look at them, you know they stop growing sins. They have not backslidden, but they stop growing. They created a roof for themselves because God himself opposes the proud, not a demon, but he supplies grace. Increase is a sign that humility is at work. Humility is worse than fornication. I mean pride, worse than fornication. So I'm asking you a question, MOG, this morning. I know you are a man of God. Will you last? Some of you are already getting offended. Why didn't they put me in front? Because God wants you to hear this message. Sit there, wherever you are. Unnecessary things. I remember one time a man of God came to preach somewhere. And I know why I made that mic example. The mic was not working well. He lambasted all the people, finished everything, and said, do you think the grace that I carry? And believe you me, there is nothing even serious there that is shouting grace. It's just because he has lived around mediocres that keep making him feel that is it. One of the greatest disasters that can happen to a minister is to surround himself with average and inferior people, where he thinks that all that he has seen is all that there is. Even in heaven, they say, come up hither. There is still a higher realm in heaven.
I have come to the end of myself. I have come to the end of myself. I have come to the end of myself.
Hebrews chapter 8. Let me just touch on just one other aspect briefly. I apologize. I've taken a lot of time. I know that we have an evening session. Are you learning something this morning? Please don't be emotional about it. Make sure you get it, and you get it for real. I was going to pray for somebody one day. Something interesting happened. And the person had been sending me a text. He said, please pray for me. I want an impartation. He sends me text. And the day I met him, I think it was a meeting, and he came there. When I was done, it was time to pray for the person. And he just bent down like this. I tapped him and said, you are foolish. If you are kneeling down, kneel down. If you are standing up, stand up. Get out of this place. This is the arrogance that, because of the people that he saw, he just, you know, this kind, pray for me. What are you snapping?
I have come to the end.
Arrogance for nothing. I will never see a man of God that is higher than me in grace and stand and try to push shoulder. The word of God has taught me wisdom enough to know that we are equal in Christ, but we are not equal in grace. What is possible for somebody may not be possible for another. And I honor that sacrifice and step into a level. Hebrews 8. The second thing I want to talk about very briefly. Everybody write this word down. Patterns. Shila bakurata baladaba. Zinde brida la makuria da baladaba kasikratika da baladaba kurabu shibrendi la kuria. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8. Are you there? Look at me. Every time in the structure, listen please. The structure of the kingdom is such that whenever God wants to embark on any kind of project, God refuses to allow the person he is sending to create the pattern because of the vulnerability that is evident in the lives of mortals. There are certain things that are upon us by reason of carrying mortal bodies. Are you following me? Weariness, for instance. The Bible says, even the young men faint. I mean, the young man shall faint and the youth shall be weary. So this is not a curse. It's part of the predicament that comes with mortality. On account of certain imperfections, God cannot trust a mortal man to be the architect and the blueprint of any spiritual project. The Bible says, except the Lord builds the house. The correct rendition there is, except the Lord be the architect, because man can build. Nimrod built. In the parable Jesus gave, he said two people built. A man can build something without God, but it takes the pattern that is given by God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Paul, attempting to explain to the Hebrew church the building of the tabernacle and the dexterity that went in receiving every detail from God, he was helping us to understand the mindset of Moses and how it is that you will build the structure of the kingdom according to pattern. Listen, there are many people that are called, there are many people that are sent, but they do not understand the pattern of their grace. They do not understand the jurisdiction of the assignment. So they are doing everything that seems to sell, and struggling and being frustrated. When God wanted a prototype of the heavenly tabernacle, because the book of Hebrews tells us that there is a heavenly tabernacle, when Jesus resurrected, Mary wanted to touch him. She said, Rabboni, he said, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended. And the book of Hebrews begins to tell us the ministry that was done in heaven when Jesus ascended. Hallelujah. After the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, the Bible says he was the lamb and he was the high priest at the same time. So he took his own blood to the heavenly tabernacle to shed that blood, because according to the customs that was given by God, the age of any lamb was the validity of the atonement. Hallelujah. So according to the Mosaic law, you would take a lamb that was 1 year old, so that the jurisdiction of the atonement for the nation of Israel will be 1 year, to be renewed on the day of atonement. We call it Yom Kippur in Hebrew. That day when the entire nation of Israel will have the opportunity to call that name Yahweh. And the Bible says when he stepped into heaven, he who is the ageless lamb, he shed that blood upon the altar, so that once and for all the sin of mankind will be atoned. And then he returned back. Are you following me now? There is always a pattern. There are protocols in the spirit. Are you listening to me? And if you do not know this protocol, you can die as if God did not send you. Let me give you a few instances very quickly in scripture to tell you that there is spiritual protocol. According to the protocol of the ark, the Bible tells us that the ark should be carried upon the shoulders of what? You don't read your Bible. Praise God. Are you following me now? But the Bible says a time came when David was about to take the ark back. Remember, the Bible says it was on a cart. That was a good intention, but it was not according to pattern. Are you getting me now? And the Bible says while they kept on going, something happened and the ark was about to fall, and a very innocent emoji who entered ministry without understanding, called Uzzah, the Bible says he ran without an understanding of spiritual protocol in an attempt to help God. The Bible says he died, and the Bible never said the ark fell. Are you following me now? There are many people who are doing innocent spiritual things but violating spiritual patterns, and so they see that although these things are from good motivations, remember we spoke about motivation, but as good as it is not enough. You must understand the patterns. There is a spiritual pattern you follow that will bring membership to a church. There is a spiritual pattern you follow that will bring finance. There is a spiritual pattern that will produce miracles. If you do not understand, you will guess and keep struggling. This is what a lot of men of God are doing today. They are using all kinds of keys and forcing every door to open. Listen, that you have keys in your hands do not mean that you can open any door. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, but you must understand. He said, ye err, not knowing the scriptures. He said, in all your getting, get understanding. Don't just get knowledge. Rema, rema, rema. Seek to understand how the kingdom functions. Knowledge tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. Hallelujah. That a man has, I always use this example, that a man has jollof rice and crayfish and the rest does not mean he can prepare jollof rice. Correct? He has the ingredients, that's knowledge. But to understand when to combine what accurately, that's the difference between a caterer and a freelance cook who wants to satisfy his hunger. Understanding.
Sir King Salama, 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 Inakawo Yabo, Sir King Salama. Nina kawo yabo,
Sir Salama. Sir Salama.
Kane Sir Salama.
Hebrews 8, verse 5. I'd like us to read it together. Are you there? 1, 2, read. Who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For what did he say? See that thou make all things according to the pattern, not according to what is in vogue. Correct? Not according to what is selling in America. He said, ensure that you build according to, not the pattern your mentor saw or the pattern that they taught you in Bible college, according to the pattern that was shown you, not shown the group, the pattern you saw upon the mountain. That is if you climb the mountain in the first place. And the condition to climb the mountain is another one. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand? So there is even a condition to reach the mountain. You can't fake it that you got there. It says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. That's the ladder you must climb. So you must first climb that ladder of holiness. Because it is upon that mount called Zion, there is holiness. And then afterwards, the sons of Jacob will possess their possessions. If you get to that mountain, then he will tell you secret things. The Bible says the secret things of the Lord are with them that fear him, not them that pray in tongues, not them that attend night vigil. The word there is Yirat Adonai, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of reverence. Is the last dimension of the operation of the body of Christ. I mean the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. There are seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit as given in Isaiah 11. It says a root shall come out of Jesse, and different manifestations, the spirit of the Lord, wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel and might, and the fear of the Lord. That's the dimension that is lacking. Many people have the prophetic, many can heal, but the fear of the Lord is what will make a man of God not go around and be sleeping around with his members, although there is no supervision. the fear of the Lord. Joseph said, I cannot do this against God and against Pharaoh. God first and Pharaoh. The fear of the Lord. Yirat Adonai. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, he says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. What pattern has God given you for ministry? Listen, there is a difference from being called and being sent. Are you hearing me? The fact that God has called you does not mean he has sent you. Let me use an example. Brother Kong, my brother Kong. Okay, when I call you, just come here. Okay, just go back to your seat. Let's do something quickly. Come, my brother. This is God calling a man. Did I send him? Start going on your own. Genuinely called, but he sent himself. He said, when I sent thee, lackest thou anything? When I sent thee. Not when you went. When I sent thee. Hallelujah. When I sent thee. The Bible says, and the king sent for Joseph, and as a result, they brought him out of his dungeon. When the king sends for you, certain things happen. Many people are moving without divine backing. You know they are called, but they are not yet sent. Time and pressure sent them. Hallelujah. Because you see, when he calls you, he makes you, then he sends you. This is what he said, come and I will make you. I will make you. Making is a process. He will prune you. He will teach you certain things. And when you understand, many people just get up. Moses saw the burning bush and he went to the burning bush. And certain experiences happened there that no one knew. It was on the strength of that experience he could confront a wizard called Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a wizard. Egypt had gods, thousands of gods. That's why when Moses, he said he sent him to Pharaoh, Moses said, Pharaoh will ask me which of the gods now has sent you, because there are many. So which one? What is his name? And God said, you are asking me for a revelation, because my name is all that I am. He said, I am that I am. He gave Moses a revelation, and on the strength of that revelation, he sent him. And Moses stood before Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, I may be young, but I need you to know that I have met him, and I have become an ambassador, speaking only the things I've been told in the secret. He said, that which I tell you in the secret, declare thou on the mountaintop. If you have not heard anything in the secret, you will keep making spiritual noise with no effect whatsoever. Listen, before God sends you, he will endorse you. Endorsement is not ordination. Ordination is just to consecrate you and to anoint you, and God honors that. But God must first endorse you. Are you getting me? When John the Baptist finished baptizing Jesus, there was a voice. This is the endorsement. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And he commanded the world to hear him. That's why everywhere he went, they heard him. They are not hearing you. Which voice has instructed that they should hear you? I'm not talking about the voice of a man, the voice of God. Praise the Lord. Bless you, sir. Patterns. Many people just get up after 2 years in ministry. They just go to FM and say, please, is there any slot for us? Who asked you? See, it is very important that when you are taking this spiritual journey of ministry, there is no presumption at all. Are you getting me? It is costly to presume that because brother A took this step, this is the way I must follow too. Look at me. The Bible tells us that in the book of Exodus, when the people sanctified themselves and God was about to come, there was earthquake. Is that not true? There were sounds of fire and the nation of Israel trembled. This was the manifestation of God. But when Elijah was about to see God, the Bible says there was wind and God was not in the wind. There was the same thunder that God came through, but this time around, he was not there. After all those manifestations, there was a still small voice. So the patterns of God can change. And it is for you to stand. Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, I will stand upon the tower and set myself upon, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower and I will see what the Lord will say. You must always be at alert. Lord, the last time we were going to hold a program, there was a way we raised the offering. Is this the same pattern you want us to all use? Just say it's like that. And ye shall hear a voice from behind saying to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you do, you will find rest for your soul. If you do not follow that way, there will not be rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aside from the voice of God, the principles of the word of God are great patterns for us. Are you following me? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, God who in sundry times and in diverse manner spake to us through the prophets in time past, had in these days spoken to us through his Son, who is the Word. So God communicates the counsel through the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, I don't just mean word that people shout around. The accurate understanding of scriptures. God who in sundry times and diverse manners, he spoke to us through the prophet, but in this season, according to his predeterminate counsel, he has chosen to speak to us through the revelations that are encapsulated in the word of God. This is what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is the ability to take the principles of the kingdom as hidden and shrouded in stories and parables. All of these parables in the scripture, they are all a concealed manifestation of the kingdom, hidden in stories. The prodigal son, the lost coin, all of these are operations of the kingdom. So by the activity of the Holy Ghost, if that light opens up to you, because the Bible says in Job 32 from verse 8, Elihu speaking, he said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, the illumination of the Almighty can make men of understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you have a pattern for your life? Are you just copying and paste, doing what other people are doing? Or are you just camping and saying, Lord, if you do not speak, I will not move? People hold conventions at the end of the year. People do everything, and most of these things are just copy and paste. It's all right if you get a rhema from God, because when God speaks, he will back you. The reason why many people lack divine backing in ministry, I tell you sincerely, is because God is not with them. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, Peter speaking in Cornelius' house, he said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed, because God was with him. And what makes God be with him? He said, I do nothing of myself, as I hear, as I see my Father do. As I see my Father do. The Bible says, according to the pattern of the kingdom, it is always done in the earth as it is first established in the heavens. So you must understand what God is doing in the heavens, and then you reproduce it in the earth. Hallelujah.
Majesty. Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. Sing majesty, yeah. sing majesty, yeah.
Majesty.
Forever I am changed by your love. In the
presence of your majesty.
Hallelujah. Give me 5 minutes and I'll be back in my seat. I need to talk about something important. Look at me. There are many people who get up and say, I am an apostle. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. I am an evangelist. Or I am a prophet and apostle. I am an evangelist. How do you know you are called into the fivefold or you are outside the fivefold? Look at me. God does not spread cards and he says, just close your eyes and choose. Whatever you see is what I have called you. No. The word apostle, Titus 1 verse 1, is a word apostolos. It was used in ancient times. The envoys that represented the king in very sensitive governmental matters, they were called apostolos. The convoys, the one who represented the king, and the prophets were mouthpieces of God. Are you listening to me? They reveal the agenda. The proof that a man is a prophet is not miracles, it's his message. Prophets came with messages that nobody had. Amos chapter 3 verse 9, because God will not do anything, but he will reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. The evangelist, there was no evangelism until Jesus resurrected. Hallelujah. Those who proclaim the good news. They proclaim the good news. There are many evangelists giving people bad news. They don't even know what the good news is. They don't carry any good news. Hallelujah. The word pastor is the word that is translated bishop, shepherd, a head over the ecclesia of God, the assembly. Feeds and builds. Hallelujah. Teacher is the word rabbi, teacher, one who expounds on spiritual truths and brings men into a comprehension of a dimension of kingdom realities. Many people carry these titles and move around with no knowledge of the function. They just choose the one that sells. Let me tell you how you know you are called into the fivefold ministry. Listen. Remember, the prophet began to give us the mystery of the potter and the clay in scripture. There's no time. I would have told you the making of the man of God. There's no time to take that. I would have shown you how God makes men. There is a spiritual pattern. If you follow that pattern, you will know those who did not follow it at once without prayer. You will know that I didn't see this person during this making. Praise the Lord. Because according to scripture, the church, the ecclesia of God is a man. I hope you know. I mean, the entire church forms a man and Christ becomes the head of that man. So that Christ and that body becomes the body of Christ, the agency that he uses to carry out kingdom activities in the earth realm. The Bible says we all as lively stones building up ourselves, hallelujah, into that spiritual house. So there is a way God builds a man. Praise the Lord. But there's no time for that now. Let me tell you how God begins to work with you. Listen. The prophetic, the apostolic, the evangelical, the teacher office, and all of these other offices, they have unique dealings. Everybody starts on a general note. Are you following me now? As your dealing with God progresses, you will find out that certain patterns in your life begins to shift. There is an introduction of certain graces and desires based on the predeterminate counsel of God. Three people get up and they start their spiritual life together. Suddenly, the third person finds out that there is an unusual grace to pray and be alone. He does not even know why. He doesn't seem to want to associate himself with other people again. He finds out that there is
an unusual manifestation of the spirit of prayer. That is a making. Already you are entering a spiritual mode. And when you continue those dealings over time, you will assume a shape in the spirit. And you will see that this is an apostolic shape. This is a prophetic shape. This is a teacher shape. Or this is a combination of these graces. But right now, everybody gets up. I saw tea. I saw bread. I'm a prophet. The gift of prophecy is not the prophetic office. God can call you into the prophetic office and you have never seen one thing in the spirit. It does not refuse the fact that you are a prophet. A lot of people think apostles are just loud and arrogant people who can shout. And the moment you see this extrovert quality in you, you just use a spiritual explanation and say, the way I like shouting at people, I must be an apostle. Who told you? Or you are an emotional person who is always crying. You say it's the burden, like Ezekiel or Jeremiah. You say, ah, it's a lamentation. No, who said you are a prophet? They made you Bible study secretary. You just force yourself inside the teacher office. Say, I'm a teacher. Nobody is blessed by your teaching. You are struggling. You try to share these revelations. You are stretching yourself. You say, if you like here or not, I'm a teacher. I know what God told me. See, those who did great things for God did not even know what they were called. Because in their days, they didn't know there was something like fivefold that existed. All they knew was that when I walk with the Holy Spirit, I will be a manifestation of an ambassador of the kingdom. Whatever name that is called, call it. It was Paul the Apostle that gave names to these spiritual gifts and these offices. Before he gave names to them, there were people working in these things. What did they call the experience? Those who prayed in tongues and interpreted tongues, they didn't know there was something like that. All they knew was that there was a dimension of operation that yields this effect. They didn't care about the name. But today, everybody, I am this, I am that, I have this gift, I have that one. You go to a meeting and you see people behaving like prophets. You say, Kai, let me cross-check this, my title. It's like, this is not what I am. You go and choose another thing now. To an extent that people now have created a hybrid of it. Evangelist, prophet, apostle, this. In a way of managing the dimensions they think they are discovering themselves. They asked John, they say, who are you, John? John said, I am the voice of one. They said, don't frustrate us. What are you? John said, me too, I don't know. All I know is that I give voice to any word that I hear. And that's what is most important. Are you a voice or you are a pastor? Are you a voice or you are an apostle? This is the nonsense that happens in the body of Christ that makes the world not to honor ministers again. Because of this childishness that goes around. But God is helping us. You have heard the word of God this morning. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. There's a lot to talk about, but I hope that this will crystallize something in your spirit and help your pursuit in ministry. Rise up on your feet. You desire. You desire the lifting of my hands to you. You do an altar call now. Don't close your eyes, open it. I'm going to do an altar call. This altar call, I don't care whether you're a pastor, you're a bishop, we are ministers here. Everybody is a minister. Hallelujah. There are many people here. Listen to me. Some of you have derailed from the path of the spirit, although you know you have the call of God upon your life. Some of us, our prayer lives are dead
Some of us are world life. Then there are some of us that are struggling with a lot of things, and God is going to help us. We have a session in the evening, so we'll use the opportunity and just minister, pray for the sick and do other things. Hallelujah. But right now, we are going to have an altar call. There are some of you that will need to come out here and say, Lord, enough is enough. I really want you to take over my life. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God that is upon my life. I know you have called me. I know there is grace. Hallelujah. I'm just going to count 1 to 3 very quickly. If you're still thinking about it, remain on your seat. I know there are a few people. Just come out and cry unto God here.
You deserve the lifting of my hands. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve.
Sing one more time.
You deserve.
You deserve. You deserve.
You deserve the lifting of my hands.
You deserve. You deserve.
I just pray for those in front, just speak a word over you. All of us are going to pray 2 things. You're going to say, Lord, give me humility and the fear of the Lord. These 2 prayer points. Lift your voice and pray it like your life depends on it. I'm tired of pride and the effect it has caused in my spiritual life. Lift your voice. Humility, oh God. Cry from the depths of your heart. To be humble, regardless of the honor, regardless of the grace. Are you praying? Say, Lord, prune out this pride from my life. Prune out this arrogance from my life. Rakata prekata lekata bokosopa. Rakata proskosopa. Mendo soteke lekata. Rekate lekato flagana baranabas. Kem prekete baranabosa. Rakata prekete lebos. Rekete prato seketa. Lam prato sopa katana baranabos. Take away pride, O God. Take away pride. When men see me, may they see an example of humility, the secret of grace. Take away pride from my life. Take away pride from my life. It's a killer of grace. It's a killer of fire. Now pray for the fear of the Lord. Say, Lord, the spirit of reverence, the spirit of reverence, to not just believe in you, but to respect you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you who are out, I believe the Lord brought you out. Please don't be emotional about it at all. Many Christians get very emotional when they hear powerful messages. They come out, but there is no determination to change. They just come out emotionally. So let me give you an opportunity. If you are emotional about it, go back to your seat before I pray for the people. You won't go to hell. Just don't waste our time. Praise God. If you are coming out here, mean business with God, because I want to pray for you. All of you who are out here, in 1 minute, I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, use me. Whatever it takes for you to use me. Whatever it takes, whatever discipline, whatever sacrifice, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in fasting, please pray. Discipline in building the gift that God has given you. Whatever it will take, cry unto God. Lord, use me. Use me for your glory. Pray. Use me for your glory. Make of me whatever you want me to become. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you may need to get away from distractions. Many of you, there are distractions. Some of you brothers, you love God, but women, oh, some of you cannot see women and keep quiet and continue ministry. Careless lives anyhow, and you say it doesn't matter because people have preached and have told us not, it doesn't matter. You carry every kind of lady bring to your house, she's lying down loosely and carelessly, and you are laughing. You are wondering why your spiritual life is going down. Brother, let me tell you, if you mean business in this journey, mean it with God. He said, choose it this day. If you are for Baal, go for Baal. If you are for God, go for God. But I want to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. For grace. Because many of you truly want it. It's just the grace. Father, I pray for your people. Grace. Become mighty men in the spirit. Grace to become mighty men in the spirit. May God plant a fire in your spirit that will make you mighty. May God plant a fire in your spirit that will make you mighty. Lift your hands, all of you. I just feel like just praying. I want to release an anointing. Can I do that just for 1 minute? Hallelujah. As I pray, the power of God will just come on a few of you. Please don't be distracted by falling down or not falling down, but it will happen right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, let your power move. Ignite men with fire. Take it now. Take it now. Shake abara tabalikada. Rekete sheka. Sombeko sota laba. Akete sekete lekata. Baka prekete balaraba. Let an unction like fire come upon you. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, fire, let your prayer lives come strong and alive. Let your word life be full of grace. I pray every weight in your life, let it be cut now in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever habit that does not glorify God in your life, kapoto toparata, seketeleketa, shembreketeleketo malalaba. Let there be prayer fire. Let there be grace for mighty things in the spirit. May the hand of God come upon you. May the hand of God pick you from where you are. Let it take you to a higher pedestal. I command your eyes to see. I command your ears to hear. I open up prophetic fountains in your life. Let wisdom come upon you. May you do mighty things for the kingdom. Lord, we give you praise for these great and awesome things. We thank you. Let Christ be glorified. God bless you. See you in the evening in Jesus' name.